I was driving in my car this week, listening to the radio, and I hear advertisements for churches. And I heard an advertisement for a Baptist church in Charlotte, and they were advertising this service. And I had never heard this before, and it's a wonderful idea. But this was what their advertisement was. They were advertising the day and time for It's Hard to Be Merry Christmas service. It's Hard to Be Merry Christmas service. And when you think of that, I mean, you know what's going on in the economy the last few years. No one sitting here doesn't know someone that hasn't been devastated, whether it's through foreclosure, or loss of employment, or financial ruin. But then you just carry that further, whether it's loss of spouse, divorce, whatever it might be. This is a time of year of candy canes and snow and Mary and family and joy. But you know the stats. This time of year, this month, all the statistics go up. Suicides, domestic violence, everything. Why is that? Because as we move through the month of December, for many of us, it is a special time. It's a time where, statistically, families get together, travel, get together more than any other time of year. It's a special family time to honor our Lord's birth. It's wonderful. But there are many people who dread this month, who drag through it. There are many people dealing with losses in their lives, whether it's, you know, you fill in the blank of whatever type it might be. And what we need to understand is that the celebration of Christmas and the entry of God into the world through the baby Jesus is not meant to intensify those hurts or to put people like that into a position where they feel hopeless and helpless and even more to harm themselves or others, but that this was actually the answer to what they're going through. And so my prayer would be is that through this Christmas season, for those people, God would be there in a special way, and that they would understand that the baby Jesus didn't come into the world to intensify those hurts or to make them stand out even more, but to help them. And that I pray that each month, this month, that each of us would experience in an even deeper and more meaningful way the love of God through Jesus Christ. But particularly for those that are hurting, and we know many of them, that he would give them an extra measure of mercy, that he would be supportive, that he would be sensitive to them in their time of loss. Because there is something about Christmas. It's a wonderful time. Living in Chicago, it was always that time of year where all kinds of people would put gold cougarans in the Salvation Army buckets. It just happened every season. I know here in the soup kitchen, during the month of December, more than any other time usually, people will bring donations and bring food. It's a time of year where we seem to think of benevolence and helping others, whether it's providing food for those who need it or donations to charities or whatever it is. Christmas draws families together. It draws the best out of people oftentimes, revolving around celebrating our Lord's birth. That's what everybody wants this time of year and this season. Families and Christmas go together, merriment, joy, celebration of our Lord, but many Christmases aren't the picture-perfect Hallmark card that we anticipate. And so for some people that we know, there's going to be an empty chair around their table. For some people, as they go through this Christmas season, they may be grieving a loss, a sense of loss in so many different ways. And it's not only true when a loved one dies, but grief can be the experience, the emotion that we carry with us through any loss. So it doesn't matter what type it is, whether it's relational or financial or physical or whatever it is. But this message today is for us as we go through this Christmas season, whether it applies to you and I individually or for those that we work with, that we know, that are in our extended family, that we can come alongside them and provide the comfort the Lord wants for all of us. Because here's what the very first Christmas, the first things out of the angel's mouth to the shepherds: do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. And when we think of that, we think of the very first Christmas as being this time of great joy where the heavenly hosts were singing and the shepherds, the star was pointing the way, the wise men were coming to see the baby. But we also remember that in the middle of all of this time, this season, Joseph and Mary, in the middle of the night, had to flee, fearing for their lives, to the land of Egypt. In fact, I can remember the story about a little Sunday school class, and they were all told, these little kids, draw a picture of what Christmas, what the birth of our Lord means to you. And this one child drew an airplane, and out of the airplane is Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus looking out the window, and she said, "What's that?" And he said, "That's the flight to Egypt." That's how some of us think in our little concrete minds. But Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus had to escape to Egypt. Why? Because King Herod, when he discovered from the wise man what was about to take place, in his fanatical mind, he's so threatened, he went ballistic. Matthew 2:16 talks about that he's outwitted, okay? And he's furious, and so he gives the order to kill all the baby boys in the area of Bethlehem around 2 years of age and under. So even the very first Christmas, even when God brought everything together and when the time was fulfilled, there was still terrible things taking place. It was a time of great joy, but it was a time of sadness and loss. And so as we head into this Christmas season, as we understand what a joyful, terrific time it is, we also understand in the reality of our worlds and those that we know that there is grief, there is pain, there is loss. So that brings us to this first question. For those that we know, for those we may sit around in a Christmas table, a dinner, is why is this so hard? When you talk to someone that's lost a spouse recently or maybe in the past, or they're unemployed, or they've got a breach with their adult children, and their relationships are not good, whatever it is, and they are crying, they are down, and they are just saying, why is this so hard? Well, after Herod gave the order to kill those baby boys in the vicinity in Bethlehem, Matthew 2:18, the Bible says this, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. You see, at this time of Christmas, the Bible talks about painful losses, those that can't be comforted, situations in life, which raises the second question. For those that are grieving and hurting and going through this Christmas season, you can ask the question, how can they celebrate Christmas? How can I be joyful? How can I celebrate with the rest of my family? How do I go through reunions or work parties or whatever it might be, Christmas programs and cookies and giving of presents and all these things that it's supposed to be about, and children, do I just put all that stuff aside and just avoid all of it because that's not where I'm at, and all those Christmas traditions and celebrations are just going to aggravate and worsen my pain? Do you just hydroplane right over your emotions, right over them, and just kind of ignore them and just go through the motions like nothing is different? No. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. So there's a time to mourn, there's a time to dance. There's a time for joy, there's a time for tears. And so this Christmas, you should understand that all of these aspects are going to be a part of the people's lives that you know. And so as we approach this season, what I want us to see this morning is that the Bible gives you and I, and those people we come alongside this season that are hurting to the core of them, let them know the Bible gives them complete permission to acknowledge the sadness, the grief, the loss, the pain that they have inside of them. And what I'd love to do is just clear up some confusion, because I think we have this in the church. We have this sense about God and faith, and that when we've gone through a terrible time of loss or pain, whatever it might be, do you know nowhere in Scripture does the Bible say you are to pretend it does not hurt? If you're really spiritual and a good Christian and you're going through a tough time and somebody comes and asks you, how are you doing? You're just supposed to say, fine, and just move on. And that the reflection of how mature you are or spiritually connected to God is the amount of your stoic nature and your ability just to continue through pain and grief and loss. I don't know where we get that idea, but it is nowhere in Scripture that we're just to be silent, that we're just to hold it inside of us in sometimes the worst loss of our lives. I don't know where it comes, but you cannot find it in Scripture. In fact, look at some of the Psalms. Some of the Psalms. Why, God? Why me? This hurts so bad. Father, help me. The Bible is very clear that we're going to go through these times, that there are going to be times of mourning and loss, and it gives us complete permission to acknowledge our own sadness, to acknowledge the reality of others going through it, and that our entire Christmas season doesn't need to be overcome by sadness, but Scripture gives us a way to deal with it. In fact, counselors, mental health professionals, will tell people this time of year particularly. They'll say, give yourself permission, whatever that is. Maybe it's 30 minutes a day. You know, maybe it's an hour a week, whatever it works for you. But they will say, give yourself brief designated periods where you tell yourself or you tell others, you know, from 2 to 3 o'clock on this day, I'm going to allow myself to grieve. I am going to work through my emotions. I am going to journal. I'm going to look through photo albums. I am going to recognize what it is that I'm going through, my loss, my grief, this time of year. And that time of sadness, they're saying, can be as much of your Christmas celebration as everything you and I think about normally that we go through. Family get-togethers, programs, and so forth. And so what they say is, in addition then to acknowledging your sadness in a time like that, you need to also remember the flip side of that is that Christmas is a time, and just like Ecclesiastes says, there is a time to dance, to celebrate the joy of the season, to understand the best of what God has for us. And so there's so many traditions around Christmas that we have with our families that include people that have loss in their lives of whatever type, whether it's death or divorce or financially, whatever it is. And so all of a sudden, when you put those two together, sometimes these traditions might seem confusing or what do I do now? And so what people suggest is that you need to look at those events, those traditions, those things that you do, decide what to maintain and decide what to change. Decide what you're going to do. Do everything you usually do, but perhaps think about what things may intensify your grief this year. What may be more painful? So let's say you lost your mother this year. Mom always hosted the Christmas party at her house or the family get-together at her house. And so you start the tradition, you communicate it, okay, where are we going to have Christmas this year? And you start that new tradition. Maybe it's just simply, you know, holding Christmas at another house, whatever it might be. Maybe you're in a situation of decorating. You probably heard the story when they were talking about Elizabeth Edwards' death. Here she was, days, weeks away from her death, and she completely decorated everything. Now, she has an 11, 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, but she had to know that her time was near. She was hooked up with hospice. She was dying of cancer. Did she say, you know what? I am not going to decorate a thing. I am just so down. You know what, Elizabeth Edwards? She was such a wonderful lady. She said this. She said, this was not a battle against cancer. This was a battle for life. And for me to make every day as meaningful and purposeful as I could as long as God gave me time. And she said, you know what, for the sake of the kids and for the sake of the family, and I'm sure she had help, I'm going to decorate the house. She put the trees up, and she knew what to keep, some of those traditions for the sake of the family, for the good of others, even in the sense of, I'm sure, of her impending loss. I just had a conversation with one of our church family Wednesday night, and it's surprising. even with a sense of loss, how long that can last, especially at times of anniversaries and birthdays and Christmas, times like that, that those emotions can just come right back to the surface and you understand the hurt and the pain, the grief that you're still carrying, because it can go for years. And so you understand that. I was talking with June Bale this week. I asked if I could mention this. And I said, June, how did you do this season so far? And she said, you know what? She said, Clarence loved Christmas. It was his favorite time of year. And she said, I cried all the way through it. But I got the tree out, I decorated it, and when I was done, I said, Clarence, are you happy? You see, I knew he was looking down. I knew it would make him happy. But what that did was that helped June. She knew what to do, what to keep of her traditions, and what's going to be different, even in the sense of this terrible loss that she's going through. And so that's what we need to do. It's not one or the other. And so if this is your first holiday season where you're going to be with family members or friends after the death of a loved one or whatever it is that they're going through, just consider, what is it that I can make this special and still recognize the loss? Maybe it's a memorial. Maybe it's a candle. Maybe it's a wreath. Maybe it's a special time of prayer or celebration or memory or whatever it is that somebody's going through that can help them get through this season. It might bring a few tears, but that's exactly what you want to do. It also brings that ability to say, this is okay, this is what you're supposed to do, and then also move on with what Christmas is about. And so it's a time where we acknowledge our sadness, but it's a time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, because this is what gets into the ultimate answer for what it is you and I go through, and those we know that are experiencing this go through. Because it leads to this third question. When you and I have friends and family or loved ones or church family or coworkers that are going through a terrible loss as they go into this Christmas season, and they're frustrated and they're helpless and they wonder what is there to even celebrate this time of year, then you come to this third question. What can others do to help? What can I do? What can I say? What difference can I make in somebody's pain? The Bible says this in Romans 12:15. Mourn with those who mourn. It's very interesting to see what the Bible does not say in that scripture I read from 2 Corinthians particularly. It does not say you are to give advice to those who mourn. It does not say you are to theologically bring God's word and apply it in the situation and explain it over and over and why they should not feel what they feel. It does not say that you're to go to those who mourn and try and snap them out of it and give them every answer to everything they raise. One of the things in Bible college and seminary that they teach you in the pastorate, and if you're a smart minister, you learn it very quick, is you know what the best thing you can do for those that hurt is? And it's true for all of us. Just be there. You don't have to know what to say. You don't have to have a scripture memorized. You don't have to do anything. All you simply have to do is be there and say, I'm here for you. I know you're hurting. Whatever it is I can do, if there's anything, let me know. Hug them, let them cry on your shoulder. That's all God calls us to do. And yet I've told this story before. I'm going through an open casket funeral, and I've got a guy that I knew right behind me, and he's telling the wife of the husband that she just lost, oh, I understand what you're going through. I just lost my cat recently. You know, I just like, oh, and I'm sure that just made her grief tenfold, you know, that I would equal the loss of my pet to what you're going through, ma'am. You don't have to say a thing. All you have to do is be there. Mourn with those who mourn. So you just simply say, I want you to know, June, I want you to know, fill in the blank, whoever it is that you know, I'm here. I understand. Just be there and give him a hug. We read in John 11, they came to comfort Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus is dead. We read in Old Testament in Job 2, after Job's children had died, he had friends that came and sat with him. He loses 10 kids. These friends come and just sit with him for 7 days, let him talk. And so if you're going through a time of grief this year, if you have a family, friend, coworker that has lost something tremendous of value to them, I want to encourage you to get as close to that person as they allow you to get, because some people will not allow you to help them. But don't keep them at arm's distance. Don't be afraid to bring up the subject. Don't be afraid to address it, because it's exactly what God wants us to do. You just simply say, I'm there for you. If I can drop by, if you want to come over, please let me know. And so then this last question that sometimes people, especially in this situation, this time of year, ask, where is God? Where is God in the midst of this loss, in the midst of this grief, in the midst of this pain? Where is God in my suffering? Because there are those who would say the very existence of suffering and tears and pain and loss shows that there is not a God. This is proof that God does not exist. But you see, God didn't create a world of robots. He didn't pre-program us in such a way that he programmed all of evil out of the world and that everything just goes exactly as he wants. God created a world of people, and he gave them a free will choice to love him or choose not to love him. He created people with a free will choice to choose to love others or not to love others. Parents have the freedom to choose to care for and nurture and love their children or neglect and abuse their children. He created nations full of people with the freedom to make peace and help other nations or to go to war with other nations. So the Bible teaches that Adam and Eve, when they chose to disobey God, when sin entered the world and it unleashed the forces of pain and death, and this is all we've known on this side of life, you need to be very clear where God is when you talk to people about this, because God does not cruelly send out pain and death. He does not send out grief and suffering, because death, in terms of its relation to God, is the enemy of God. And no matter what you hear, death is not a natural part of life. It wasn't part of the original creation. It will not be a part of when Jesus comes back and we're glorified. All you have to do is look at those who are dying, to look at a dead body, and understand that this is not God's will for human beings. And so someone says, where is God this year? Where is God in the midst of what I'm going through, my loss? If you don't remember anything else from this message, remember this. The Bible specifically says God is with those who suffer. In the midst of what they're going through, that's right where he is. And so the Bible says that that baby that was born in that little manger at this time of Christmas, born in the manger to be called Emmanuel, God is with us, that God is with us. He came to earth to identify, to experience with our life, to understand what human, he could identify with what we have to go through, but also as God to take away our guilt and our sin when he went to the cross, and take away that pain and that suffering and give us forgiveness. The Bible describes him particularly, this little baby that was born this time of year, as a man acquainted with sorrows, a man acquainted with grief. Now think about that for a moment. Of all the gods that the human mind could devise and has in world religions over the years that they could devise to worship and so forth, the one true and living God, the God of the Bible, is a God who suffers with us, who experiences the same things that we go through as his creation. And maybe the greatest thing about God and this baby that was born in the manger is that God chose to suffer with us, his creation, when he did not have to. Friends, that is a love that is deeper than the ocean. That is an identification with what you and I go through emotionally that our Lord and Father did. It is a love that is greater than our pain. We have someone with us that understands and knows what we are going through. And so when the angel announced the birth of Jesus on this Christmas season and said it was good news of great joy, it wasn't empty words. The angel was announcing the entrance of Emmanuel, God, who would be with us in the midst of our loss and our pain. And this baby that was born in the manger in John 16:20 grew up into Jesus and said, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." So, okay, how long does that take for someone that has just lost a spouse, a job, a home, whatever it might be? How long does that take? How long before my grief turns to joy? Well, you all know the answer to that. You find as time goes by that grief softens, that you learn how to deal with it in a better way. It never goes away. It's not something that maybe even necessarily turns to joy in this lifetime. But the Bible says in Revelation 21 that one day God in heaven will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more crying, mourning, or pain. Evidently, there will be some tears that will be in our eyes even when we go to meet our Lord or He comes back for us. They will not be wiped away necessarily until we are in heaven. Evidently, some of us will go to meet Him with tears still in our eyes. But our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you are celebrating Christmas this season with tears in your eyes, remember that scene in heaven. Remember the birth of the baby in the manger that makes that scene possible. Remember the fact that one day that Savior will wipe away every tear and that your grief will turn to joy once and for all, forever. And remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, born in that manger, that went through a human life on this earth, understands pain and loss and emotion and grief, and especially, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he gives us comfort so that we can comfort those who are going through exactly what we went through. We understand the comfort that God gave us in that situation, and now we can be extensions of Christ and extend that comfort to others. Do that this season. Let's pray. Father God, it is a time of joy, it is a time of celebration, and it is a time where I would bet every single one of us is going to be with or know someone that isn't celebrating this year. Help us to be your hands, your heart, your mouth. Help us to just be there. Help us to let them know that in the midst of everything they're going through, this is especially when God is with them. This is especially what Christmas is about, that they can have a Lord and Savior that not only takes away sin and gives them forgiveness and reconciles them to God, but this is a time of year when they have a Lord and Savior that can comfort them, that can lift them, that can make sure they get through anything and everything that happens on this side of life. That is part of the joy and the celebration. Help us to help those understand that it's okay to have that hurt, to experience that grief, and to also understand that there's plenty to celebrate and there's plenty of joy and that we need to navigate through both. When this may be a time when it's hard to be merry at Christmas, help us to understand that this is especially why Jesus Christ came. It's in His name we pray.